Welcome to the Wine Marketer's Radar, your weekly roundup of non-wine news that matters to your wine brand. I'm Polly Hammond, founder of Fife Forest. Each week, I'll bring you fast, strategic insights to help your wine marketing team stay ahead of the curve.
Gen Z cliches, Coke cans with QR codes, and Sidney Sweeney's great jeans. Three very different stories, but each lesson for wine brands. I'm Polly Hammond, founder of Fife Forest and host of the Wine Marketer's Radar. Each week, I bring you the most important marketing and business trends happening outside the wine industry and connect the dots for what they mean for your wine brand. Let's start with a topic I've debated for years, generational marketing. If you've followed me for a while, you know I've long debated the usefulness of generational theory in wine marketing. Marketers love a neat label. Millennials, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, but those labels can easily become shortcuts that obscure real insight. Recently, Marketing Week ran an opinion piece by Jennifer Bender, sparked by the release of the latest Ipsos Generations report. Bender argues that yes, generational theory can be helpful, but only when we use it critically, not as an excuse for broad stereotypes. Generational theory should really only look at three things. Period effects, so major shared events like the pandemic that shaped all of us. Life stage effects, so these are behaviors tied to age. Think traveling in your 20s, saving when you have kids, or for us, simply legal drinking age. And cohort effects, the worldview shaped as you come of age at a particular time. The hard part is teasing these apart. Too often we declare Gen Z hates brands or millennials have killed wine without asking whether it's really about disposable income, cultural shifts, or affordability. Now, why does this matter for wine brands? Well, wine headlines love to talk about how to reach millennials or why Gen Z isn't drinking wine. But we rarely stop to ask whether behavior is generational or just about life stages or about wider economic realities. Generational theory can be a useful lens, but only if we combine it with cultural insight, real consumer research, and a willingness to update our understanding over time. The takeaway, don't fall for the easy label. It's why consumers act the way they do and how your brand can connect with them in meaningful ways. Next up, Coca-Cola proves marketing drives growth, especially when it's well done. In Marketing Dive this week, Chris Kelly reports on Coca-Cola's Q2 earnings, and the takeaway is clear. Coke grew revenue 5% despite a 1% drop in volume, and executives credit marketing, yes, as the key driver of that growth. So back in April, we talked about Coca-Cola's decision to relaunch its Share a Coke campaign, and this time doing so with a digital twist. QR codes, custom videos, in-app experiences. Our takeaway then was that packaging shouldn't just sit on a shelf. It can be the start of a relationship. Fast forward to Q2 earnings, and Coke has just reported that 5% revenue growth despite the 1% decline in global volume. Campaigns like Share a Coke and Diet Coke's This Is My Taste, shaped by social insights, have delivered multiple consecutive quarters of growth. And it's not just these campaigns. It's Coca-Cola's shift to faster test and learn processes, tailoring messages to local markets at scale, and finding efficiencies in production and media buying. Why does this matter for wine? Too many wine brands see marketing as a cost and not an engine. Coca-Cola is proving the opposite. Even in tough times, creativity, strategy, and agility drive real results. If you're still thinking of your label as shelf appeal, take note. Even legacy brands are turning packaging into a digital touchpoint. Your bottle could be more than decoration. It can unlock experiences, content, and offers that build loyalty long after that cork is pulled. Your takeaway? When the economy is uncertain, don't cut marketing. Double down on the strategies that create relevance and connection. Legacy brands aren't playing it safe, and neither should wine. And finally, the campaign everyone's talking about this week, American Eagle's ad with Sidney Sweeney and the tagline, Sidney Sweeney has great jeans. It's gone viral, but for the reasons that should make brands pause before trying to replicate it. So the tagline, Sidney Sweeney has great jeans, is obviously a play on jeans and has sparked criticism for flirting with ideas of eugenics. Gross? Absolutely. But the brand got what it wanted. Everyone's talking about their brand, and they're talking about jeans, which is a commodity product that's often hard to make newsworthy. But attention isn't always good. This kind of buzz doesn't build trust, it doesn't build brand affinity, and it doesn't give people a reason to stick around once the outrage passes. Why does this matter for wine? I think it's easy to bemoan that wine marketing is too safe, it's too predictable, and in some sense that's true, but the solution is not to chase controversy for clicks. The real opportunity for wine marketers is to be both timely and culturally relevant without sacrificing your brand's integrity. This means creating content, campaigns, and moments that resonate because they are distinctive and meaningful, not because they're controversial. The takeaway: attention is only valuable when it drives connection. The goal isn't to get people talking, it's to give them a reason to care about your brand. And that's it for this week's Wine Marketers Radar. If you need help with your wine marketing, head over to fivefores.com.